Well, turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, we continue, of course, our study of Paul's letter to the church at Rome. It's a powerful letter. It's the foundational letter of the New Testament. In fact, it may be the foundational letter in the whole Bible. It gives us great truths concerning salvation and Christian life and even the future events. In this great section, we're looking at chapters 6, 7, and 8, and that deals with the Christian life and how we can have victory. We're seeing truths and principles that enable us to know and understand God's provision for us so that we can make an impact for Christ right now. In chapter 6, we saw that our key was our union with Christ, that we died and rose again with Him to a new life. We are a new creation in Christ. Chapter 7, the key was teaching about the law and the conflict within every believer. And now we've moved to chapter 8, the key that the Holy Spirit is the power so we can have the victory. This morning, we're going to see several issues and several different truths. We realize all believers have the Holy Spirit inside. That's a great truth. Most of you know that. We'll see that. Second, we're going to see that the Holy Spirit gives life, both spiritual life and physical life. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. And then the third thing we're going to see is we have an obligation to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and not the flesh. There's some great things. There's so much in this section. I pray we'll understand the truth that God has given to us. Well, we think about that great song, "Our Life is in His Hands." What does the future hold for us? You know, we know one day that Jesus Christ will return. How will all this come about? When will it all happen? I just started in my Sunday school class this morning a study on what we call the end time events. And that's the future events and events that God has revealed to us in His Word. We know that one day, and it could be any second, that Jesus Christ will come out of heaven. He'll come in the clouds and He will get those of us who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior. We'll be taken off the face of the earth. This is called the rapture. It comes from a Latin word, rapio, which means a snatching away. There are really two aspects, and it deals in this passage, it deals with those who have died and those who are still alive. We find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, he says this: first of all, the Lord will descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and then he says, and then the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with Him in the clouds. Well, it's pretty powerful. We see that those who are alive and those who are already died will be, in a sense, they'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And God, the Holy Spirit, we're going to see, was going to give life to these mortal dying bodies. It's called resurrection life. There will be at the rapture a physical life given to those who have died and those who are still living. There will be this change of resurrection life. How does it happen? When we look at this passage, we're going to see that it's the Holy Spirit who does this. The Holy Spirit gives life to our physical bodies, to those who have died and those who are living. It's powerful. This morning, as we study Romans chapter 8, we'll see this great truth concerning the work of the Holy Spirit. Now think about this. We know that the Holy Spirit gives spiritual life because the moment we trust in Christ as Savior, we're made spiritually alive. We know that. But we may not always realize that it's the Holy Spirit who gives physical life. And I'm talking about a life in this body so that these bodies can live forever. We call it resurrection life. There's a lot that we'll see in this passage this morning. Well, let's begin. Let's think about the book of Romans. It is indeed the foundational book of the New Testament, maybe the whole Bible. We're seeing great truths concerning sin, salvation, future events. In chapter 6, 7, and 8, as I mentioned a while ago, we're seeing how we can have victory in the Christian life. And it's powerful. These three chapters go together. In fact, if you're reading or studying, what you want to do is just take Romans 6, 7, and 8 and read all three chapters without stopping. In fact, when you study it, try to put the whole thing together because you'll see there's a flow there. You remember in Romans chapter 6, there were three words that stood out. It's know, consider, and present. Know that we died and rose again with Christ to a new life. Consider ourselves dead to sin but alive in Christ. And do not present ourselves to the flesh, which is the bent to do wrong, but present ourselves to God. Now that's Romans chapter 6. That's how we live. In fact, the key of Romans chapter 6 is who will you present yourself to? The flesh or the Holy Spirit? Then we moved to chapter 7 and we saw the battle inside, the flesh against the spirit and the battle within every believer. And the key in Romans chapter 7 is who will you yield to? The flesh or the Holy Spirit? And now as we moved into chapter 8, it deals with the assurance of salvation, but we see the victory. And the whole chapter, 20 times the Holy Spirit is mentioned, talking about empowering us to live the Christian life. And the key to Romans chapter 8 is who will you choose? The flesh or the Spirit? So there's some powerful things as you put these three chapters together. Now, we've been seeing that a lot of great things. Let's put the outline up of the book of Romans. And all we want to see is just this first part. We're in the first section. And notice how I described it. We called it the choices. Two walks, two minds. And if you kind of skip on down, you see two obligations, two sons, two airships. Everything fits together there. The two walks are two ways to live. The two minds are two ways to think. The two obligations are the two ways that we're obligated to live. Two sons, and we'll see all that. Now, we're in this first section. We have already seen the two walks, the two minds. This morning, we're going to look at what the Holy Spirit, how He indwells and what He does, and then we're going to see the two obligations. Keep that up there for just a second, because what I want you to see is, as we look at this, there are two ways to live. There are two ways to walk, two ways to think, two obligations. As we continue this morning, let me break down the passage for you. First of all, verse 9, we see the Holy Spirit is in. The first part is going to be deal with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit lives inside of every believer. That's not something new. We should know that. Second, we're going to see in verses 10 and 11 that the Holy Spirit gives both spiritual life and physical life. Now, that's something a little bit different. We'll look at that. And then verses 12 and 13, we have this obligation, not to the flesh, but to the Holy Spirit. It's some pretty powerful things. Now, let me show you something again. As I mentioned a while ago, you see the flow of the book, especially the first part, the two ways to live, two walks, the two ways to think, the two minds, the two obligations that we have, the fact that there's two sons there, the fact that there's two heirs. By the way, we'll get to that next week, but we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We'll see how that fits. There's some great things in the book of Romans as we go through it. You can take it off now if you want to. Let's think about Romans chapter 8 for a second as we get into it. You know, we said this book is so powerful. It begins and ends with the assurance of our salvation. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." The very first verse of Romans 8 reminds us that we will never be condemned. We'll never be separated. By putting our faith in Christ, we'll never be separated from God. The chapter ends as you get all the way toward the end, chapter verses 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39. That whole thing says, "What can separate us from the love of God? Nothing." And finally he goes, "Height and depth and things present, things to come, and angels," and he gets to the end and says, "Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." We ought to be going, that is fantastic, because that's what it is. Nothing can separate us. There's no condemnation. Nothing can separate us. So Romans 8 starts with this great, it starts and ends with the assurance of our salvation. But then as he begins, and as we've seen already, that he begins this way that we live and the choices that we make. There are two walks, two ways to live. There are two minds, two ways to think. Two walks, we can walk in the flesh or the spirit. Two minds, we can set our mind on the flesh or set our mind on the spirit. Now realize an incredible truth. If you walk in the flesh, you sin. If you walk in the spirit, there's righteousness. If your mind is set on the flesh, there's death. If your mind is set on the spirit, there is life and peace. In this little section, we ended last week basically with verses 7 and 8, seeing about the flesh. Now, you remember that inside of every one of us, there is a natural bent to sin. The Bible calls it the old man. It calls it the flesh, calls it the bent to do wrong, calls it sin within us. We come into this world dead, and there's a part of us that naturally wants to sin. Not anything you can do about it. You naturally want to sin. We don't teach people to do wrong. We have to teach people to do right. Now, the end of this little section that we saw last week, verses 7 and 8, show us that in the flesh, which is inside of every one of us, there is no possible way to serve God. Three reasons. The flesh is hostile to God. The flesh is not subject to God. The flesh cannot please God. If you would, look at verse 7. He says, "Because the mind set on the flesh, living in the flesh, is hostile to God." The flesh automatically is in rebellion against God. Anytime that the flesh looks at the Word of God, the flesh says, "I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do that." It goes on to say that the flesh is not subject to God. Notice it says that for it is not subject itself to the law of God, not even able to. The flesh is not even able to obey the Bible in any way, shape, or form. And then there's a third thing he says in verse 8, "And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Any human being who is living in their flesh is hostile to God, is not subject to God, and cannot please God. So if you think somehow, if you're not living in the power of the Holy Spirit, which is inside of us, if you're living in the flesh, you cannot please God, you're hostile to God, you will not even be subject to God. That's the way it is. Now from this, beginning at verse 9, this is where we're going to be this morning, he begins to tell us, he reminds us about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I had an outline. I don't want to put it up right now, but I gave you and I've got a handout for you. I said I'd have it for you. If you want to pick it up at the Welcome Center, there's a handout that gives the ministry of the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit does before salvation, what the Holy Spirit does at salvation, what the Holy Spirit does after salvation. We've seen a lot of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but this morning in this passage, we're going to see something that's not mentioned in other places, things that maybe you've never even thought of, and we'll see it, and we'll see how it fits together with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. There's two things I want you to see. Number one, he's going to talk about that the Holy Spirit is inside of every believer. Now, we know that. We're going to see it in these verses. And number two, he's going to talk about the Holy Spirit gives spiritual life. We know that one. And physical life. We may not have thought of that one. We'll see how it fits. Now, as we begin, let me remind you of a great truth. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you trust Him for eternal life, you become a changed person. You're a new person. In fact, we're different. Let me remind you of something. Before salvation, this is what we're like. We got a body. We've got a soul, which is the part of us that relates to the world around us. That's where we have our mind, emotion, and will. We have a conscience. That's the part inside of us that tells us right from wrong. Romans chapter 2, verse 15 says, written inside of our hearts, on our hearts, is the law, our conscience. So people know right from wrong. And then we also have that flesh that I mentioned a while ago. Sometimes it's called the old man. Sometimes it's just called sin within us. It's a natural bent to sin. So a person who's not a Christian, as we go through life, they have a body, they have a soul, they have a conscience, and they have a natural bent to sin. But the moment we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, we are changed. We are changed from the inside out. The Bible says we are born again. Let me tell you what we're like. We still got a body. We still got a soul. We still have a conscience. We still have that bent to do wrong called the flesh. But now we are alive spiritually. We call it the human spirit. We were dead in our trespass sins. Now we are alive. Ephesians talks about how we were dead, but now He has made us alive. And for the first time in our lives, we can begin to understand the things of God, because we have a part of us which 1 John calls being born of God. John chapter 3 says being born again, we are changed and we are new creations in Christ. Now, and that's not the end, because on top of that, God actually puts the Holy Spirit, God Himself comes to live inside of us. So as a Christian, you got a body and you got a soul. And you got a conscience, and you got the bent to do wrong called the flesh, and you have a new part of you, a new creation in Christ, which wants to love God and understand God and serve God, and then you have God, the Holy Spirit, living inside you. Now, I know it's crowded, but that's the way it is, and that's where we are. Now, think about it. In verse 9, we're going to see the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's going to start by reminding us that God the Holy Spirit is inside of us. Look at verse 9. He says, however, you're not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, that's the Holy Spirit, he does not belong to Him. Now, in this passage, he's using flesh and spirit in contrast to being a believer and being an unbeliever. He says, however, you're not in the flesh but in the Spirit. He's saying you're not a flesh person, because the flesh person, they've got the body, the soul, the conscience, the flesh. But you're in the Spirit. As a person who's a new creation in Christ, you got the body, the soul, the flesh, the conscience, the new creation, and the Holy Spirit. So he says, you're not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit. He's just trying to make this analogy. He's making the contrast between being a believer and an unbeliever. And he's going to remind us of how all this fits together. Notice what he says. However, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed, literally in the Greek, it's called a first class if, that says since the Spirit of God dwells in you. He says, you're in the Spirit. You are a new creation in Christ because the Holy Spirit lives in you. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, comes to live inside of every person who believes in Jesus Christ as Savior. That means every one of us in this room, I hope it's all of you, I hope everyone in this room have put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, that you've trusted Him for eternal life, you know you're going to heaven, you're a child of God. Every one of us who have trusted Christ, God, the Holy Spirit, comes to live inside of you. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what, do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? In John chapter 14, verse 16, it says, the Holy Spirit will come. He has been. This is what Jesus said. He said, He has been with you, but He shall be in you. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6 says that by faith, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us when we trust in Christ. Now, I want to remind you something you may not realize. The Old Testament and New Testament are different as far as the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, all the way from Adam and Eve, all the way up to Jesus Christ's death and resurrection on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, that's the beginning. He shed His blood. That's the blood of the New Testament, the New Covenant. In the Old Testament, what we find is the Holy Spirit came and indwelled in people, but not necessarily permanently. Sometimes in the Old Testament, God would allow the Holy Spirit to come upon a person to do a particular ministry or job. If you studied the life of Samson, there were times that the Spirit of the Lord would come upon Samson and he'd have power, and then there were times that he left him. That's why David in Psalm 51 writes, "Take not your Holy Spirit away from me." He wasn't worried about losing salvation. He was worried about losing God's power in him because as the king of Israel, God empowered him with the Holy Spirit. Now, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was not permanently indwelling in believers. Sometimes come, sometimes leave. Had nothing to do whether they were believers or not. In the New Testament, every person who believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit not only comes to live inside them, but comes permanently. Notice what he says in the passage. He says, "You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, since indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." Notice, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, that's the Holy Spirit, literally the Spirit sent from Christ, he does not belong to him. He says, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to Christ. You're not a Christian. That means that every one of us who believe in Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us right now. Notice how he says it. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, I want you to understand it's really Spirit from Christ. That's how it could be. You realize that the Father and the Son are the ones who have sent the Holy Spirit. Jesus said when he was with his men in his upper room discourse, he said, it's good for you that I go away because once I go away, I will send the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. That's the Holy Spirit. He said, after I leave, I'll send the Holy Spirit to come back. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus even told him, he says, go back to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. That's the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is sent from heaven by the Father and the Son to come and live inside of us. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says, if you have trusted in Christ, you have God, the Holy Spirit, living inside you right now. It's powerful. You have the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a second truth. Now, we all knew the first truth, or we should have known the first truth, that you believe in Jesus, you've got the Holy Spirit living inside you. But this second thing is a little bit unique. We're going to find that the Holy Spirit gives both spiritual life and physical life. Let me explain to you what I mean. The first aspect is what I mentioned a while ago. We're dead spiritually before we trust in Christ. We were dead in trespasses and sins, separated from God, couldn't understand the things of God. But the moment we believe in Christ, the Holy Spirit regenerates us. Sometimes in the Bible it's called we're born again. We're born from God, 1 John chapter 4. And we are made a new creation. We are given spiritual life. We're dead, now we're alive, and we're talking about spiritually. Now, most of us, when we studied back a little earlier and we showed all the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we saw that one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is regeneration. That's what we're talking about. But there's a second thing we're going to find in this passage that the Holy Spirit does. He gives physical life. And what I mean by that is not only people who have died physically already, the Holy Spirit's going to give them a life that lasts forever in that body. He's going to take our bodies, if we're still alive when Jesus comes back, and he's going to give a life to these bodies that will never end. Because we're in what the Bible calls mortal bodies or dead bodies or even in some places dying bodies. If Jesus doesn't come back in a good while, all of us in this room are going to die physically. Because we got dead bodies. That's what he's going to call it in this passage. The Holy Spirit one day is going to give life to this body, and it will never decay or die. We'll see it as we go through this. Let's look at it. The first aspect in verse 10 is he talks about how the Holy Spirit gives spiritual life. Look at verse 10. He said, if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. He says, if Christ is in you, and by the way, it's one of those first class ifs in Greek, which means if and it's true. If it's true, and it is, that Christ is in you, and he is, then though the body is dead because of sin, we have dead bodies. It's called a mortal body, and it's because of sin. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. We've all sinned and owe God death, and every one of us are dying and are dead physically. He uses it dead. He didn't say you're just dying. He says you're dead. Your body's dead, and it is. And if something's not done, it's going to die in the way that we see death, and they're going to put our body in the ground. So he says, now if Christ is in you, if the Holy Spirit's in you, Christ in you, even though your body is really dead because of sin, yet the spirit, that's the human spirit, is alive because of righteousness. See, when you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, he gives you his righteousness, and the Holy Spirit makes you alive. And so he's saying in this way, as you walk around on this earth because you believed in Jesus Christ, even though you got a dead body, you're alive spiritually on the inside because the Holy Spirit made you alive. Now, we know that when we've said, yeah, 1 Corinthians 6:19, don't you know you're a new creation in Christ? 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, a new creation, Holy Spirit's inside of us. We know we're different people. We're dying and dead physically. We're alive spiritually. Now, notice what he's going to say, though. Not only does the Holy Spirit make us spiritually alive, but the Holy Spirit's going to make us physically alive. Look at verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, once again, first class if in Greek, if and it's true, since the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Who is that? That's the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to notice, since the Holy Spirit lives in us, he describes the Holy Spirit as the one who raised Jesus from the dead. Now, I want to teach you something. In certain places in the Bible, you can read that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead. You remember Jesus died on the cross, paid for sin, and was buried. 3 days later, he rose from the grave. In some passages in the Bible, it says God the Father raised Jesus from the dead. There are some other passages in the Bible that says Jesus raised himself from the dead. And then there's some places in the Bible that says the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. This is one of the places that it talks about the Holy Spirit raising Jesus from the dead. And what the Holy Spirit did was give life to the body of Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid for our sins, he was buried, and then when he was raised from the dead, the Holy Spirit gave life to that body. We call it resurrection life. Jesus Christ will never die again. He lives forever. The Holy Spirit gave him resurrection life. Now notice what it says. Since the Spirit of him, the Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, since the Holy Spirit lives in you and the Holy Spirit is the one who raised Jesus, notice, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. In the future, one day, the Holy Spirit, just as he gave resurrection life to Jesus, will one day give resurrection life to our bodies so that we will live forever physically. See, some people get confused, and when they think about heaven, they think about some kind of mystical thing like floating around or something. Do you realize you're going to have a body and you will live forever in a human body, but it'll be a body that will never die? It's called a resurrected life. It's what the Holy Spirit's going to do for us. So it says, just as the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead and gave him resurrection life, Holy Spirit's going to raise us from the dead and give us resurrection life. Now, when is that going to happen? Well, I quoted a while ago at the start of the message in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 17. He says there'll be the shout of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead and voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Those people who have already dead and their bodies are in the grave, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. They are with the Lord. They're coming with Jesus in the clouds, and God, the Holy Spirit, is going to raise that body up and change it just like that. And then it says, and we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him. He's going to change our bodies just like that. He's going to give us resurrection life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, this mortal body will put on immortality. We're going to be changed just like that. The Holy Spirit not only gives us spiritual life on the inside, one of these days when Jesus comes back, he's going to give us physical life forever as well. That's a powerful truth. We ought to be going, this is unbelievable. I love it. Don't you love it? Is this great? One of these days, you're never going to die. Let me tell you, if you're young, you don't understand this. If you're older, you will understand we are wearing out. Let me tell you, everything hurts. And your arm hurts, your leg hurts you. You used to could jump and run, now you can't jump and run. And what doesn't hurt? Do I? What doesn't hurt doesn't work. Let me tell you. I'm just telling you. So it's getting bad. And you know what? One of these days, there's going to be a change in this body. And I'm going to be tall. And I'm going to tell you, But one of these days, there's going to be a change that is beyond our comprehension. And the Holy Spirit not only has given you spiritual life, He's going to give you a physical life. So it's powerful. In every believer is the Holy Spirit. We have the power to live. He gives spiritual life to us. We're new people in Christ. One day he will give us physical life, resurrected life. Now, from this, after talking this, he gets right back to those issues. Remember, he's been saying there's two walks and two minds, and now he's going to talk about two obligations. Two walks, two ways to live in the flesh of the Spirit. Two minds, two ways to think. Your mind set on the flesh, your mind set on the Spirit. Now we're going to see two obligations. Obligation to live according to the flesh, obligation to live according to the Spirit. Look what he says. Look at verse 12. So then, it's sort of his summary statement. Now the fact that we know what we are like. He says, so then, brethren, we are under obligation. We have a responsibility. This is something we're to do. And he's notice, he gives a negative and a positive. Negative, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. We are not under obligation to the flesh. We're under obligation to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. He goes on to explain, for if you are living according to the flesh, if you are living your life in the power of the flesh who lives inside of you, look what he says, you must die. He's not talking about physical death there. You remember there's a physical death in which the body and the soul are separated. There's a spiritual death in which we come into this world dead in trespasses and sins and we're separated from God. There is eternal death in which if a person doesn't trust Christ, they'll be separated from God forever. This is called temporal death. This is a believer. If you have sin in your life, if you're living in the flesh as a believer, you break your fellowship with God, not your relationship, but your fellowship, and you die. You're out of fellowship. Now, the only solution to that is to deal with your sin. You confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. You're back into fellowship and you are alive. So when he says death here, he's not talking about eternal death or physical death. He's talking about temporal death, which is in your fellowship with God. He says you have an obligation, not to the flesh. Don't live according to the flesh, because if you live according to the flesh, you must die. You're going to die. But here's the contrast. But if by the Spirit, if you're living by the Spirit, you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you're not obeying the lust of your flesh and your body, you will live. Now, you can go through this life dead or alive. You can either be living in the flesh and you're dead. You're out of fellowship with God. You can be living in the power of the Holy Spirit and you're alive. You're alive in Christ and you're serving Him. You have the contrast. You have the choice. He says, so then we're under obligation, not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, because if you live according to the flesh, you die. You're under obligation by the Spirit, and if you live by the Spirit, you will live. Not to the flesh, death, but to the Spirit, life. Two walks, two minds, two obligations. Two walks, two ways to live, flesh or Holy Spirit. Two minds, two ways to think, set on the flesh, set on the Spirit. Two obligations, one to the flesh, which is death, others to the Spirit, which is life. This is the same truth we have been seeing over and over in Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. He says in 6, 7, and 8, who are you going to serve? Who are you going to present yourself to? How are you going to live? How are you going to think? Who are you obligated to? Over and over, it is either the flesh or the Spirit. You can walk in the flesh and it's sin and death. You can walk in the Spirit and it's life and peace. Now, let me say this. As a believer, you have the choice. We've talked about it all the way back, beginning at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, he said, you died and rose again with Christ to a new life. You're a new creation. You don't have to obey that flesh. You don't have to listen to the flesh. You can live your life in the power of the Holy Spirit and bring glory to God. Or you can listen to the flesh and live your power in the flesh and have sin and death. You choose. It's not some mystical, magical thing. It's when you wake up in the morning, you deal with any sin, and you say to God, I want my life. I present my life to you. I want to live today in your power. I want to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. I present myself to you. I'm going to set my mind on the things of the Spirit. I have an obligation to walk in the Spirit. That's how we live. And it's your choice. And you can either walk in the flesh, and there's death. Or you can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and there is life. We'll see more next week. And what have we seen? All believers have the Holy Spirit inside. The Holy Spirit gives us spiritual life. And one day He's going to give us physical life to this mortal body that we have. We have an obligation not to the flesh, but to the Spirit. And if we live in the flesh, there's death. If we live in the Spirit, there is life. Let me give you some applications. First one is this. Understand the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, I've got you the handout back there if you want to pick it up as you leave. And it's got the work of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives right now. By faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. He is the power so we can have victory. Now, think about it. A, the Holy Spirit makes us alive spiritually. All right? It makes us spiritually alive. It's called regeneration. Even though our bodies are dead, we're alive spiritually on the inside because the Holy Spirit made us alive. B, the Holy Spirit will give us physical life, resurrection life one day. When Jesus Christ returns, the dead in Christ will rise. We are alive and remain to be changed. He'll take this mortal, dying, decaying bodies and He will give us unending physical resurrection life. That will happen at the rapture when Jesus ascends out of the heaven in the voice of the archangel the shout, the trump of God, and we'll be changed. We'll be raised. And these physical bodies will never again be subject to death. You will live forever. With that in mind, two, we are obligated to live by the Holy Spirit, not the flesh. You have the choice. We have an obligation to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's life and peace. If we live in the flesh, there's death. There's two minds, two walks, two obligations. The two walks, two ways to live. The two minds, two ways to think. The two obligations. Obligated to the flesh, obligated to the Spirit. May we live in the power of the Holy Spirit, gaining victory, knowing that just as the Holy Spirit has given us spiritual life, one day He will give us resurrected physical life as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for this passage. Thanks for these truths that You teach us in the book of Romans. And Lord, there's so much there. Help us to understand the work of the Holy Spirit. We know that the Holy Spirit is incredible, that when we trust in Jesus Christ, His Savior, He comes to live inside of us and He makes us spiritually alive. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. Now we're alive. We're born again. Thank You, Lord, for spiritual life. But we also know that one day the Holy Spirit, when Jesus Christ returns, will give us physical life, resurrection life. We'll be raised from the dead and our body, this body will never decay and never end. Thank You, Lord, for that. Because of that, Lord, we're obligated. We're obligated to live, not in the flesh, but in the Holy Spirit. There's two ways to walk, two ways to think, two ways to live. Lord, we want to live in the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. Lord, thank You for these believers. Would You use us, Lord, and help us as we continue to study Romans, that we'll see things that we can apply right now in our lives. May we be men and women who live for the glory of God, walking in the Spirit and not in our flesh. May we make an impact for our Savior, Jesus Christ, for it's His name we pray. Amen.